are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So maintaining moral and ethical standards is a vital aspect of living out one's Christian faith. By fostering open and honest discussions about these topics, men can gain valuable insight and tools for maintaining moral and ethical standards in their daily life. So we are joined on the line by my elder Kaliba here, who's going to help us understand what moral integrity can do for men. My elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. I'm good, my elder. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be on Adventist World Radio this morning.
Indeed. So I'm going to ask that before we start our discussion, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this?
Shall we pray? Our gracious, kind and loving Father who dwells in heaven. Father God, we want to thank you this morning because of the gift of life that you've given unto us and the privilege, Heavenly Father, to still call upon your name. This morning, even as we are going to discuss issues pertaining to the moral and ethical standards that are vital for our Christian living, we pray that may your spirit be with us. May you also inspire the listeners and also help us discuss in accordance with your will, because we pray in Jesus' name with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. So we're looking at all things moral integrity. My elder, now, how do we now define moral and ethical standards as Christian men?
Well, to start with, as a Christian man, the first point of focus would be to bring ourselves in line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. So the way I would define it would be that these are basically standards that are defined by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And through the instructions that we find in the Bible, which is his holy word. Okay, and these, of course, from my perspective, there will be issues that encompass around, you know, the life of love, kindness, humility, service towards others. But in all these things, avoiding sin that can harm oneself and others, mm-hmm. and aligning oneself to the actions or to the love of Jesus Christ.
So looking at the role that prayer and spiritual disciplines play in maintaining and moral and ethical integrity, what does it do now?
Well, I see that prayer is cardinal in one's life. Prayer basically helps one to be connected with God, and it plays a critical role in maintaining moral and ethical integrity. Without prayer, it becomes literally difficult for you to have the connection with God, and it becomes difficult for you to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. So from my perspective, prayer actually does help to foster a closer relationship with God, which in turn strengthens one's resolve to live in accordance with his will.
So how can men now cultivate virtues such as honesty? I'm not laughing because men are not honest. No. How can
but it's quite interesting.
Yes, yeah. You know, how can they cultivate virtues such as honesty, integrity, and humility in their character? And also speaking about humility, you know, not everyone lives in a patriarchal world. You know, if they can just humble themselves, so how can they now, you know, cultivate those virtues?
Okay, yeah, a very interesting question, actually. And one thing which I think I pick out there is obviously the keywords honesty, integrity, and humility. Now, having a combination of those in one sentence is quite loaded. So I think for one to cultivate the virtues, let me start with honesty and integrity. It involves, of course, a conscious effort to practice these qualities in daily life. I do remember some years back, my superior at work back then had this one saying where he would say, if you can't put it on the wall, then don't do it.
Okay.
It was something which at first it didn't make a lot of sense, but down the line, you begin to see that the things that we do, if you cannot create a poster and say, this is what I've done, definitely it is something that you know you shouldn't do. Cultivating those qualities or cultivating that kind of culture within oneself. Of course, you can't do it by yourself. You still need to still just look at the examples of how Jesus led his life,
mm-hmm.
And through the Word. And it is from that point that you begin to recognize your points of weakness, your points of failure, and committing those points of weakness and failure to God in prayer. Like we said, prayer is also critical. It plays a critical role in your day-to-day life. So cultivating honesty and integrity, I think it's, of course, it emanates from the fact that if you can't really put it on the wall, don't do it. But most importantly, it's the love of Christ that can help you to grow from that weakness to still get to a point of strength through him. Coming to humility, humility is quite, it's quite difficult, huh?
Yeah.
Because at times, even when you think you are humble, even when you think you are expressing humility, you might find yourself actually going out of the bounds of humility. So, but again, engaging in regular self-examination and being open to correction from others helps in this endeavor.
Can these virtues be nurtured, though? Can they be nurtured, though? Or you're born with it, or, you know, either you're born with it or you don't? Or is it something really that, yes, you can nurture, you know, through your readings, through how you interact with people, or they can't really be nurtured? It's a gift that the Holy Spirit maybe might give you?
Well, I think to start with, I think no one is born with these things. When we are all born, we are born stubborn in some way. We still need the power of the Holy Spirit to awaken these virtues in us. But in terms of them being nurtured, obviously, the more you practice, or the more you live a particular way of life, the more it begins to now appear like it's just part of you. It's something which, of course, it comes through prayer. I mean, you need to have the connection with God. You need to pray about it. But then you don't just leave it with prayer, because, I mean, you can pray, and if you don't act, maybe nothing is going to happen. So you need to live your life in accordance with the prayers that you have offered to God. And then God helps you to begin to actualize. So I think it's something that I've seen over and over, that one just needs to obviously try to practice what they pray about.
Yeah.
Or can make their prayer life practical.
So since we are our brother's keepers, right? We have been told that we should be our brother's keepers and sister's keepers. How then now do we seek, or how does now the accountability come into play, where the fellow brothers, you know, when you are not that honest, they come through, you know, and help you in that journey of upholding moral and ethical standards? Or when they see that, there's something wrong, or when you feel like, you know, I'm about to fall, how then do you seek that help so that they help you to be accountable when it comes to morality and ethical standards?
Okay, and a very good question, actually. It just reminds me of, you know, some years back when I was still in university, there was a time when I thought, you know, there was no need for me to be part of any church groupings, any, small groupings that would, you know, help shape your morals. Because I thought, well, I mean, I was at an age when I thought I could do things by myself. But I soon learned that, you know, it really helps to join groups or to be with people that can help shape your moral and ethical standards, because they really help to bring about accountability. You begin to, see that where you go wrong, a brother can come and remind you that, yes, I think you did this, but, you know, by every moral and ethical standard, this doesn't sit very well, and it brings about that self-control. So my take would be, I mean, one would find a lot of joy and comfort when you join small groups, be it Bible study groups, youth groupings that have the moral and ethical teachings of Jesus within a given community. And these settings do provide a safe space for men to really share their struggles. I mean, there is no man who has no struggle. All of us do have our struggles, but when you can't find a place where you can be able to share your struggles, receive encouragement, or can challenge one another to grow in your faith, it becomes a lot difficult. So these support groups do play a critical role. And I'm glad that within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do have such kind of groupings. I mean, be it if you're a young person, there is the Adventist Youth Movement. Yeah. If you are an elderly person, if you're a mother, there is Dorcas, there is Women Ministry. If you're a man, there is the Adventist Men Organization. Mm-hmm. So there are all these support groups where really you can be able to share your struggles within a safe space without you being judged, and you're able to live a transparent life, which is able to help you maintain accountability and receive wise counsel.
So, how now should the men guard against temptation and avoiding compromising situations that may lead to moral compromise? Because some, you can see, my elder, you can see that is a lion's den, but still they enter, you know. So how can they guard against that so that, you know, the inevitable does not happen?
Okay. Yeah. Indeed. It's tough out there for men. It's tough. And guarding against temptation, of course, even the Bible tells us that we should be vigilant, because I mean, the devil is out there, like a roaring lion, looking for one to devour. So the world out there obviously is not friendly, and it does, of course, require one to be vigilant about the situations we put ourselves in, setting health boundaries, of course, it becomes critical. I mean, as a man, you must understand what your weaknesses are. As a man, you must understand what your weaknesses are, and those weaknesses that you have, obviously, you must safeguard yourself against, you know, going into places where you know that here I might actually fall. And it is also Very important to actually seek strength and guidance through prayer and scripture in order for you to resist temptation. Like even the Bible tells us that resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. So that power for you to resist the devil, of course, will only come from a prayer and reading of scripture. But also just avoid situations that can lead you into sin. So if you know that I've got a weakness for a certain kind of sin, don't put yourself close to a place where you will end up, you know, saying, no, it was at my point of weakness.
You must run.
Yeah, you must run as much as you can.
Yes, indeed. They must run, and I think my elder, you know, when you started, you said that it's tough out there for men. I think it's tough for everyone. I really think it is. It's just that hey, there's something interesting about men, but we won't get into that one now because and I always say this, and I'm like, most of the time, for example, when we are told to be our brother's keepers, for example, in church, in terms of how we dress. Nothing is said about the brothers being their sister's keepers in terms of how we dress, you know. So for me, it's the same. It's just that the other gender is so special, so special, you know. But as we near the end, Mpundisiwa, my elder, how do men now model, their life after the example of Christ, of Jesus Christ, you know, in their interactions with others and in their decision-making process?
Well, of course, the Bible is quite elaborate in terms of how Jesus led his life. And I know there are a number of people out there who at times would, argue to say, no, but, you know, Jesus was God. That is why he was able to live his life like that. But he came to give us an example of how we too should live. For me, modeling one's life after Jesus involves, some deep scripture reading to really understand how God or how Jesus himself allowed himself to lead, a humble life. How he avoided situations. I mean, you do see that at times there were encounters where one would have thought he was going to go into some confrontation, but he avoided the confrontation. And the scripture will just tell you that, and when they were about whatever, then he moved in between them and went away. So there are times when you just need to follow some of these examples and see how, how one can live like that. But of course, it means that in terms of decision making, the decisions must all be made based on the principles of love, justice, and mercy as demonstrated by Jesus. Seeking peace, reconciliation in relationships are some of the things that we probably should be trying to focus our attention on. But by and large, all these things, without prayer, which was one of the things that we looked at, without prayer, without reading scripture, it becomes virtually impossible to model our life around Jesus' examples. So my take is men just ought to pray and pray and pray.
Pray, men. Please pray so that you don't find yourself doing things that you're going to regret at the end of the day. We're just saying, we're giving you nice advice, you know, me and my elder here. Thank you so much, my elder. You know, I think we have covered most of the issues when it comes to moral integrity there. Any closing words from you? And then after that, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our men that, yes, it may be tough out there, but they have Jesus, you know, on their side. They can face everything that they are facing.
Yeah, to my fellow men, life out here is tough. And there are many things that can tempt us and even cause us to sin. But we just need to focus our attention on Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. Yes, there could be some men out there listening now. You may have stumbled and fallen because of the sins and temptations that are out there. But Jesus still opens up his arms, calling you to say, please come to me. It is never too late. You can always start afresh. So as we try to lead ethical lives, as we try to lead lives full of integrity, we can only do that by drawing closer to God and asking him to help us exemplify the love and grace that Jesus Christ showed to us. And if we can do that in our day-to-day lives, it's not about doing it for years.
Yep.
It's about doing it one step at a time. If you can live for 1 second and the next second and the next second, that will translate into a day, into a year, and then it becomes a lot easier to live and model your life around the examples of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. My elder, please pray for us.
Shall we pray? Our gracious, kind, and loving Father, we thank you for this opportunity you gave to us to discuss Heavenly Father issues to do with men, morality, and integrity. We realize, Heavenly Father, that we cannot do it by ourselves except if you empower us to live a righteous life. Heavenly Father, the men out there have many temptations, and they do have, Heavenly Father, many things that cause them to have or to lose focus on you. How we pray, Heavenly Father, may you be the one that directs our moral compass, and that, Heavenly Father, in everything we do, we can only be able to go in the direction of heaven in accordance with your will. Our God and our Father, bless the men out there, grant them wisdom so that, Heavenly Father, they can be once again looked upon as the source of wisdom, the source of morality, the source of integrity by society. How we pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to be with us, because we pray in Jesus' name with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much for coming through and being with us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.